shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. That's one of those scriptures that's worth reading twice. So let's do it again so we can get it in our minds, all right? But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Praise God. Could you stretch your hands towards heaven? And if you would, ask the Lord to help me, and I'll ask him to help y'all. Amen. Some months ago, it's been, I guess it's been a couple, 3 months ago. I don't often use poetry in my preaching. You know, I don't often use it, but sometimes I do. And God gave me this. I was sitting there, and God gave me these lines, and I wrote them down. Now, I don't claim to be a poet, so if it don't make sense to you, just play along with me, all right?
All right.
Praise God. I entitled it God's Time Clock, all right? God's time clock moves at his divine will, for he alone has the power to make time stand still. During the long, dark hours, we question his time. We wait without patience for the morning bells to chime. We say in our heart, surely the Lord hears, as minutes seem like hours because of our fears. He's brought us to this place, and here we will stay until God comes in his timing to bear us away. Take heart, Christian friend, and do not faint. Run, don't be weary. You're his precious saint. Keep calling on God and know that he hears. For soon his time will come to dry all your tears.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. We'll talk to you just a little while tonight about with wings shall I ride. With wings shall I ride. Hallelujah. Praise God. We are oftentimes, and I need to take my time, and I need to preach a little bit tonight. Maybe not scream quite so loud as I have been, and maybe just slow it down just a little bit and preach what I feel in my heart tonight as much as possible. Oftentimes, you know, I've been going through things, and I know many of you have too, and we wish that the Lord would allow us to look to the end of the chapter and see how it ends. If God would just let us gaze into the future for a little while and not have to worry. You know, I'm really not known by anyone for my patience. I'm not. When I hook up to leave here, whenever that may be, when I hook up to leave here, I'll get up early in the morning, And for lack of a better phrase, and it's not probably a good phrase to use, but I'll run around like a chicken with my head cut off. I'm real hyper that way. And I'll run here and I'll run there. And I'll open the door and I say, hurry up, Teresa. Shut the door back. You know, I'll be outside doing the outside work. And I'll keep working around a little bit more. And I'll open the door again. I'll say, hurry up, Teresa. And I'll shut the door back. And I'll work around a little bit more. And then I'll open that door again, Sister April. And I'll say, I said, come on, Teresa. We got to get going now. We got to get there. And by that time, her facial expressions have changed from a smile. And she's not happy anymore. And she usually says something like, I hate travel days. That's what she normally says. That's what she hates them. And I do all right as long as I can just know that it's going to work smoothly and completely. But sometimes my worst anxiety is when I cannot see the end of the story. Amen. When I cannot see the end of the chapter. D.L. Moody talked about a lady that she really wanted to be saved. She really did. And she came to his meetings night and again, and he would preach to her. But she could not believe God to get saved. And finally one night she went and talked to him about it. And she talked to him and she said, well, I'd like to believe God, and I know everything you're saying is true, but I just have trouble believing. I can't grasp hold of it. Can't grasp it. She wanted to know the whole story. She wanted to understand everything that would happen. She said, now you're going to go off back to America here in a little while, and here I'll be. So D.L. Moody, in his vast studies, had read a fable about a pendulum clock. And he told that lady that fable about that pendulum clock. And he said that pendulum clock was worried about all the times that it was going to have to swing back and forth. And finally it come to that pendulum clock that all he had to worry about was the first swing. And the rest would take care of itself. Sometimes, now I'm going to talk to you just a little bit slower tonight. Sometimes, we want God to move right now. Right now. And we don't like to wait. We don't like to wait. We want God to move for us yesterday. Yesterday. But it doesn't always work that way. Now, sometimes, as much as we hate to do it, you know, I've been going through troubles before and struggles, and I'd be right in the midst of the battle, brother, and I'd be struggling, and somebody would come by me, and they would say that great scripture that I just read to y'all. Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. That's a mountain of... And I'm thinking, that's all well and good for you. You're not in the heat of the battle, but I am. Amen. You're not struggling with it like I am, but I'm struggling with it. And you know they come up, now, brother, just wait on the Lord and he'll move for you. And you're thinking, yeah, I understand what you're saying, and I believe the Bible, but sometimes it's hard to wait, isn't it? Sometimes it's hard to just say, okay, God, I'm gonna sit right here. It's almost impossible for me to do. God, I'm gonna sit right here until you come to me. It doesn't always work that way. You know, every now and then I want to get ahead of God and I want to jump out there and do things and get the ball rolling, and it's just hard for me to wait. But I want you to know, we must learn to move when it's God's time. Amen. You know, we must learn to move when it's God's time. Now, not every moment is God's time. Hallelujah. Now David was going out to fight against an enemy, and he said, Lord, shall I go up? And the Lord said, I don't want you to do anything until you hear the sound of the wind blowing in the tops of the mulberry trees. I don't want you to move at all. Amen. Until you hear that. Sometimes we just need to wait on the Lord. Amen. To give us that divine signal that he's so capable of doing. And when he gives us that signal that it's time for us to move, it'll work out just like God said that it'll work out. Could I tell you tonight, amen, maybe we just need to wait on the Lord just a little while tonight and wait till we hear the sound of the rustling of the leaves in the top of the mulberry tree, and it might just be that God will come to us. Now, in Joshua chapter 6 and verse 15 and several scriptures following that, 15, 16, he's talking to Joshua, and he tells Joshua, now keep in mind, they've been in the wilderness for 40 years. They've been in the wilderness marching in circles for 40 years. They've been eating manna. They've been feasting on quail. They've been drinking water out of the rock. But they've been in the same place for a long, long time. And they finally get the okay, and they march across the Jordan River, and there ahead of them is Jericho, and God's promised them that he's going to give them that city, and he's going to do that work for them. And God's already told them, I'm with you, and I'm going to help you. And he told Joshua, don't be afraid. Don't worry about it. I'm going to be there for you. But then he takes a curve, and he tells them, now I want you to march around that city one time a day for 6 days, and I don't want you to say anything the whole time that you're marching around that city. Now, I can't imagine that. Around the city one day, not a word spoken. Around the city 2 days, and right on and right on and right on. They don't say a word. But then he said, on that seventh day, I want you to march around that city 7 times. And on that seventh time, then I want you to shout. Amen. Help me preach to you just a little while. Amen. I want you to know that God has got not only a divine timing, but God has got a divine plan, and we must follow it to its fullest, or we'll not receive what God wants us to receive. It wouldn't have happened. The walls would not have failed if they would have moved on the fourth day or the third day. But it's when God says, help me preach to you just a little while. It's when God says to us, it's time to move. Amen. Need to talk to you just a little while. My worst problem that I go through when I'm in that waiting period, Brother Robbie Reed, is I look at the circumstance. I look at what's going on around me. And I sometimes when you look at what's going on and you look at that circumstance, it doesn't always look favorable, does it? You know, you're trying real hard, and maybe you're struggling with things in your life, and maybe you're struggling with things in your relationships, and maybe you're struggling with things that you just don't know how to work it out, and you're trying to wait on God, and you're trying to do it God's way, but you look at the circumstance and it doesn't seem to be getting any better at all. You look at it and you say, well, Lord, I'm waiting like you told me to wait, and I'm doing what you told me to do, and now it looks worse now than it's looked before, and I don't understand why it's that way. I don't understand why you're asking this of me right now. You ever been to that place in your life where your life seems to be tearing apart around you, and you've been praying about it, you've been seeking God over it, and you've been asking the Lord to help you, and you're saying, Lord, where are you at, and what are you trying to do? And and God tells you to do something, and it seems like that thing that he's telling you to do would be highly out of character for you to do. It's not what you really feel like you ought to be doing, but it's what God said to you. Now, can you imagine what Gideon felt like? He's already outnumbered, and God tells him, send everybody that's afraid on home, tell them to go home. And then there's a vast number of them leaves, and then he said, well, now I want you to go down to the river there, and whoever does or drinks and keeps his eye on the enemy, he can stay, but everybody else send them home. And then by the time that it's over, amen, there's a vast multitude now, and now there's 300 men. What are you going to do with that? I want you to know, sometimes before it gets better, amen, it might get real worse, but don't give up on God. Amen. Don't look at the circumstance. It might look like it's never going to transpire, but I want to tell somebody tonight, amen, God's got it in his control. Amen. I said God's got it in his control. I feel like the Lord's helping us here. If you'll wait with me just a little while, I want to try to talk to you, because I feel there's somebody in this place tonight. You might be going through some situations that you don't know how to handle, and you're calling on God, but you don't feel like God's answered just yet, and you don't know when God's going to answer, and you don't know how God's going to answer, but you just got to wait on the Lord. The Lord promised he would be there, and sometimes when he promises he'll be there, we get shook up because it doesn't happen right now. But wait, I'm here to tell somebody tonight, amen, don't give up on your situation. Don't give up on God. Don't fly off the handle and get mad. Amen. Don't turn everything upside down. Amen. Wait on God a little while, and God will be there. Amen. It don't always happen. Doesn't always happen like you think it should, but God will do it. My oldest son, my oldest son he was born with quite a severe birth defect, and we for my wife to have my oldest son, Michael, she about went to death's door to do it. He was a large baby, and he was breech, and she couldn't have him, and it got real bad. It got real bad. She had been in labor all night long, and I remember she was 45 seconds apart on her pains, and the baby wasn't no closer than it'd been, and she was struggling. And the doctor finally looked at us after her x-rays and said, there's no way she can have this baby. We got to take this baby right now. And they rushed her back to surgery and rushed me back there. And this is just very sensitive to me, so I hope you don't fall out with me. But he's my first son, and I'm a young man, and I'm excited about being a dad. And back then they didn't have ultrasounds, so I didn't know what it was, or didn't use them on in that day. Couldn't afford them. I don't know what it was, but we didn't have one. Amen. Maybe they couldn't see what it was anyway. But anyway, I didn't know if it was a boy or a girl. And that doctor went in, and the surgery began to take place. And when the doctor was taking the baby and showed me the baby, and I seen the side of the body that the birth defect was on, and he didn't, and my heart dropped. I had looked so forward to God having given us a healthy little boy or a healthy little girl. And my heart dropped. I'm just going to be honest with you. And then, you know, my wife was in shock. She had fought so hard and tried to have that baby that when they finally did take it, her body went into shock. And she's there. And they take Michael, who's the other two kids, or three kids, call him the golden boy. They just do. They think he's never made a mistake. They just call Michael the golden boy. And they brought Michael by. She never even got to hold him. They she kissed him on the forehead, and off he went to one hospital, the children's hospital, and there my wife was in one hospital, and her all in shock, and then my brand new boy off to another hospital, and I go home, and I'd been up all night. I was out of it, and I go in and I get cleaned up, and I'm going and trying my best to be strong for everybody, and I got to a place to pray, and I said, God, you got to help me. I'm in trouble right now. You've got to help me, we went to the hospital. Or I went to the hospital to see my boy. You know, I wanted to be there with him and with her, so I had to run back across town. It was 20, 30 miles apart. And I went into that hospital room. They had him, and they didn't know nothing about all of the birth defect that he had going on. And the doctor looked at me, and he told me that the difficulty of the situation, and my heart dropped. But I felt like I'd prayed that day, and God said it was going to be okay. It's going to be okay. It did, you know, sometimes when you feel that way, you think God's going to heal right now. I'm trying to talk to somebody here. That you feel like God's going to take care of it right now. I mean, God's going to fix it, and it's going to be better, and you're going to take that little boy home, and everything's going to be okay. Amen. It's all going to be fine, but that ain't always how it works. That ain't always how life works. Sometimes there's some difficulties that goes along with life, and sometimes you don't understand why you're going through what you're going through, but you go through it. And there that day, I remember God, you told me it's going to be all right, but could I tell you, it took them 18 surgeries. 18 surgeries to make him all right. Help me preach to you just a little while. I know God could have done it, but God didn't choose to do it that way, Brother Robbie. He didn't choose to divinely heal him. I don't know why, never. But we had to go through 18 surgeries. And you know, there was times that those surgeries was 12 hours long. But if my son would walk in tonight, you would never know that nothing's ever been wrong with him. He's one of the most talented musicians you've ever met in your life. And my boy's been in church. He told me the other day. He told me several months ago now, he said, Dad, you know, I tried instilled in him to be raised right. And he said, Dad, he said, I've only missed one tithe payment in my whole life. He said, I've only missed one tithe payment in my whole life. And I said, you did? And he said, yeah, I left it laying on the dresser, but I brought it the next night. Amen. He said, I only missed it one time. But you know what? Amen. We didn't understand what we was going through. But now when we look at Michael and how God uses him all over, and how God's blessing him, and how God's touching him, and how God gave him a wonderful wife. Amen. And that's a miracle in itself. And how I got a beautiful little granddaughter and all of that. It didn't seem like it was going to happen that night, amen, or that morning when the doctor told me all those bad things and how terrible it was going to be. It didn't seem like it was ever going to work out, but it did work out. Don't look at the circumstance. I'm talking to somebody tonight. It might be tearing your heart out of you. You might feel like your life's being turned upside down. You might feel like nobody's got the answer for you, but I'm here to tell somebody, wait just a little while and you're going to mount up with the eagle's wings. Wait just a little while and you're going to soar after a little while. Amen. Sometimes the problems are so big. I need to deal with this. I need to deal with this. I don't mean to preach long tonight, but I need to deal with some things tonight. I need to deal with some things tonight. Sometimes we get hurt. Have you ever been hurt? You ever been hurt? And maybe you've suffered things, and maybe somebody has ran you down to the dogs, and maybe the person that you love the most said something that tore your heart out of you, and every time that you get to that place, maybe you've been in a church and suffered church hurt, and help me preach to you just a little while tonight. I need to talk to you. Maybe I feel like I'm preaching to somebody tonight. Maybe you have been, you've been so abused. Oh God. Maybe you have suffered things that you cannot tell anybody about. Maybe you've went through things that no matter what you try to do to forget it, you just cannot forget it. It's there. It's there. And it's almost impossible for you, amen, to get rid of. And you feel like, just to be honest with you, that God disappointed you. You feel like God let you down in the time of trouble. And when you needed God, God wasn't there. Amen. Help me preach to you just a little while. You called on God, but God turned a deaf ear for some reason or the other. And you can't understand why God did not do it. And you're so hurt that when you go, oh, God, help me right now, Lord. Help me right now, Lord. I feel you in this place, God. Amen. And sometimes you're hurt so bad that you come into the house of the Lord and you want your situation. Oh, I'm talking to somebody right now. You want your situation to change so bad, but it just ain't changing. And you have trouble. You come into the house of God and everybody else is singing and everybody else is a waving their arms to heaven and everybody else is a shouting across the front and everybody else is children are praying and getting saved and everybody else seems to be so happy and they're smiling and you come to the house of God and you put on that fake smile and you shake everybody's hand and when the songs are going up, you're clapping your hands too. Amen. When the glory gets to falling, you're watching everybody and glad that it's happening, but you're going through the struggle of your life and you don't understand why in the world God has not moved. Why in the world it had to happen this way? I read in 1 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 1. Amen. Samuel is on the bottom. Amen. Saul, the man that he anointed to be king, has failed God miserably. And God's rejected him from being king. And he's laying there in sackcloth and ashes. And he really don't understand why he's having to go through why he's going through. And somebody let him down and somebody did him wrong and somebody hurt him and he shouldn't be feeling this way. It was the actions of other people that got him to this spot. Why is he the one suffering when God speaks to him and tells him, Samuel, get up. You gotta get up. I've got somebody in the tribe of Jesse, amen, that I'm wanting you to anoint to be king. Sometimes I want you to know right now, you gotta rise above where you're at. Hallelujah. I said you gotta rise above the situation. Amen. You can't dwell in the lowlands forever. You gotta get over it after a while. Help me preach to you just a little while. I said you gotta get over it. I pastored my first church and I was a failure at pastoring my first church. I stood for some things that I thought was right, but I was young and I was ignorant and I didn't know a whole lot about pastoring and I didn't know that you needed to be sweet all the time instead of part of the time. And there was part of those times that I wasn't sweet, you know, and most of the time I was, but I had things that just got me, and I couldn't deal with them. It got to me, and it's all I could see. And to make a long story short, the vote come around, and I was standing for what was right, and I was standing for holiness, and I was standing for true, and they decided that I needed to stand somewhere else. They asked me to leave. I obliged them. Said, okay. I left. Loaded up my family, left the wonderful state of Oklahoma, pulled my trailer. My brother-in-law come out and help me. He drove the U-Haul. Got on the highway, broke down. Even worse. Got home to her dad's house. No home. No ministry. No job. Bad health. All of it hit me right at the same time. I went out on my father-in-law's back patio, and I hated everybody.
Wow. God bless. All right.
I got bitter.
Transparent.
I got bitter.
Oh, no.
I'd sit out there on that swing, and I'd say, how could they do that to me? I loved them. I prayed for their sick. I buried their dead. I loved their kids. Their kids lived at my house. How could they do that to me? And I got bitter. And I couldn't get over it for a long time. But I got out there day after day. While I thought I was getting bitter, God would come just a little bit every day.
Think about it.
And he'd put a little bit of salve on that heart of mine.
And that's
good. I'd feel a little better.
A little
better. And then he'd put a little bit more salve on that heart.
Oh,
and I'd feel a little bit better.
Thank
you, Lord. He'd pour in a little bit more oil and a little bit more wine, and I'd feel a little bit better. And I got feeling so good that I went back to that person that had done me so bad. And I looked at that person that had done me so bad, and I knocked on their door and I said, I need to talk to you. I said, okay. And I walked in with tears running down my face and theirs. I apologized because I handled things the wrong way. I got over it.
Praise God. Thank God. Hallelujah.
This is strange preaching, brother. This is strange preaching. I got over it. I got over it. Hey, Ben.
Thank you, Lord.
Are you there tonight? Maybe your relationship has gotten to that point where you just can't, you just cannot, you just cannot get past it. You just eats at you. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's a church. God forbid, but maybe it's a church member that there's things that just, you know, went separate one from another, and you can't get through it. Could I tell you tonight, you'd be a lot better if you just let him find you a porch swing somewhere. Go find you a porch swing somewhere. Sit out there and talk to him, and for long you'll feel his hand just touching you right there. Amen. And before long you can go back to that person and you can say, hey, I still believe the same things I believe, but I want you to know I didn't do it just right. Help me preach. I know I'm out left field tonight. That's all right. I feel the Lord. I feel the Lord talking to us tonight. You need to rise above it. You need to rise above it. But Brother JR, I can't get there. I can't get to that place. Just can't get there. Moses asked the Lord, he said, Lord, he said, show me your glory. And the Lord said, Moses, Nobody can see my glory and live. However, there is a place by me. Stand thou here on the cleft of the rock. And we know the story. Stand thou here upon the rock. And then I want to read you what the Bible says, because I found myself in this place before where I could not get to where I needed to be, and Moses could not get to where he needed to be. I want you to read it in verse 21 of chapter 33 of Exodus. And the Lord said, "Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock." I can't get there, God. I'll put you there. I can't get to that place, God. I will put you there. Amen. I can't seem to get to where I need to be, God. That's all right. He'll put you there. Amen. I said, as long as your heart's right and you're saying, "God, I need you," there'll be a day that you'll feel his hand reach down underneath you, and he'll lift you up to where you need to be, and he'll put you where you need to be, and then he'll place his hand over you to protect you. And when it's all over, said and done, amen, you'll feel the glory of the Lord. Amen. Help me just a little while, and I'm almost done. I'm talking to somebody tonight. Maybe you've struggled and you cannot get past it. Maybe you've wrestled with it time and ago. What you need tonight is for the Lord to reach down for you. He's got a place where he'll hide all of your faults. He'll put you in a place where he'll protect you from all of those that are against you. He's got a place just for you. He's got a place where the birds will sing that song that you need them to sing. And I'll tell this story and I'll be done. I'll tell this story and I'll be done. I was in the midst of that storm. Me and porch swings have got a thing. Just tell you the truth. We got a thing. I was sitting out there. It was actually a yard swing. I was sitting out there in the yard swing, and I was moaning and groaning and belly aching and telling God how terrible life was, and how dark it was, and how terrible my life was going, and how it shouldn't have happened to me, that I was such a sweet guy. You know, you don't tell God things like that, but I do. And it was dark that night. And my wife is not the most successful person in the world with plants. I'll just leave that there because I need to go home tonight. But she's not the most successful person with plants ever. But she can grow roses. I mean, she can grow some of the most beautiful roses you've ever seen in your life. And I was sitting there on that porch swing, and I was going back and forth, or that yard swing, and I was going back and forth. Had just went through a terrible trial. And I looked over, and right beside me was one of those rose bushes that my wife had planted. And it had a bloom on it that big. And it was as beautiful a bloom as you ever seen in your life, but you couldn't see it because it was dark. And the Lord spoke to me and says, "Roses still bloom in the dark. Even in your trouble, there'll still be a burrows. God's glory will still be there. I'm here to tell somebody you need to look over. Is so dark. Could I ask you to bow your heads, please? I'm going to ask you to be as transparent as I've been tonight. I wonder if you would just slip up your hand and you would say someplace, and it'd be silly for me to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. I'm not talking about sin and backsliding or anything of that nature. But I wonder tonight, would there be a hand that would go up and say, "Preacher, I sure need to see that rose tonight. Thank you for that hand." Would there be another hand go up and say, "Thank you for that hand"? Would there be another hand that would go up and say, "Preacher, I need to thank you for that hand"? Would there be another hand go up? "Preacher, I really need to see that rose bloom, and I'm really going through it, and I need God to help me." Would there be another hand? Would there be one more hand? I feel like there should be. I feel like there should be tonight. I'm not asking you to tell you that you're doing anything terrible, or I'm not asking you to say that you're having any problems that you can't handle. I'm just asking you, would you please let God help you through what you're going through? Father, in the name of Jesus, I've preached to your people the sermon that you gave me. Lord, I know you have talked to them tonight because I have felt the witness of the Spirit. Some of them, Lord, are going through things they cannot even talk to their own spouse about tonight. They're going through fears on the inside. They're going through things on the inside that they're worried about that they wouldn't dare speak to anyone. Oh, God, please have mercy tonight and let them know that their roses are still blooming. In the name of Jesus, we ask you to help them right now. Amen. Our heads are still bowed and eyes are still closed. I want you to give the Lord a minute. I want you to give him a minute to start rubbing in some oil, some salve. I want you to give the Lord a minute to start pouring the healing. I want you to give the Lord a minute to just reassure that person that it's not weakness to need help. It's just a part of life. That all of us come to the place where we need somebody sometime. Lord, I'm asking you right now. I'm asking you right now. If you'll just touch their heart. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place right now. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place right now. Hurt feelings, hard feelings. I feel that tonight. I feel that tonight. Things have been said. You just can't seem to get over it. Circumstances have turned. You just can't seem to see God in it. Heaven's wanting to help you tonight. I'm going to ask you right now, and I've had you raise your hands. And sometimes it's too hard to raise your hands, because maybe if you raise your hand, you'll feel like somebody else will find out that you knows the situation, and you don't want them to know you're hurting as bad as you are. So you just leave your hand down. So I want to ask you to raise your hand again. But I will ask you just to do this. And if we could all do it, it'd make it a whole lot easier. Would you just whisper these words? Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. Would you just do that for me tonight? Just bear with me. Jesus, help me tonight. Jesus, help me. I just need, Brother Tolliver, I need the Lord to take this off of me right now, because I feel a burden that God's trying to heal somebody right now. I feel that so strongly, that God's trying to help somebody right now. Right now. I don't want you to leave here thinking that God don't care about your situation, because He does. Could we give place to the Holy Ghost for just a moment? Raise our hands towards heaven while my wife gets ready to sing, please, if she would. I wonder if you just raise your hands towards heaven and say, Lord, help us. Help us tonight. Help us tonight. Holy Ghost, have your way. Great God in heaven. I just want you to stand, please, if you would. We'll give the Holy Ghost all the time that He needs, or He wants. It's in His hand anyway. But if I was you, I'd let the Lord heal me right now. You remember Michael, I was talking about earlier, and my son, he developed quite a great character. And when I was voted out of that church, and I was aggravated, and I was probably saying things I shouldn't, that 16-year-old boy, he looked at me with these words, been through several surgeries. He looked at me with these words, and it's penetrated my ears ever since. He said, Dad, they're just people. They can make mistakes. Remember that, Tracy? He said, Dad, they're just people. They're just people. And what you need to realize tonight, when you're hurt by someone, they're just people. Oh, I'm talking to somebody. They're just people. They're just people. They're just people. They're just people. And people make mistakes. But God loves you. Lord, I really don't know how to end or bring you into the altar. I wish we would have went higher tonight, but that's not what God wanted. God wanted this steel spirit right here. God wanted this steel spirit right here so somebody tonight. Tonight, just to be honest with you, I feel as anointed as any night as I've been up in this platform. I feel like God's speaking to somebody. I feel more definite tonight that God's speaking to somebody than I have in several nights. He's a talking to somebody right here. God's here to heal you. God's here to heal you. Are you willing to let him? So they're getting ready to sing. Please get ready, please.
Oh, glory to God. Glory to God.
You're his. You're his. If I was you, I'd step out from where I'm at, wherever it is, from the front to the back, platform, wherever. And I'd just come to this altar and I'd say, Lord, I need you to put me where I need to be tonight. I need you to put me where I need to be. Would you step out right now? Come on. Come on, don't wait on one another. The worst thing you can do, and nobody's going to say, well, they're a terrible person because they're, come on, that's it, young man, come on. Put me into place, God. Would you come right now? People will know I'm struggling. No, nobody's going to care. Come on. That's it. Just step out. God, I need your help. God, I need your help. Sing, sister.